Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Clan Chat, the official podcast for Glasgow Clan, as we bring you more exclusive interviews from behind the scenes at the club. I'm Craig Anderson, and as ever, we'll review the homecoming last weekend that saw Clan beat Fife Flyers, then take to the road to Manchester, where they completed another four-point weekend. We'll look ahead to the Belfast Giants doubleheader this weekend, and we've enlisted the help of Belfast Telegraph journalist Adam McKendry to give us the lowdown from Adam Keefe's side before their visit this week. Scott Tansky tells us the story of his career and reveals what went on behind the scenes in that fantastic Dreams Clan Come True video from last season. And let's just say, Jerry McLaughlin is quite the diva. We give some long, long overdue love to the Official Supporters Club, aka the OSC, as we welcome Chairman Roddy Brown to tell us what's going on. And we've gone for something different. I'll be honest, it's been keeping them to myself and not making any comment at all, but I have saved and screenshotted all the original questions, which clearly are for one person. It's Zach Fitzgerald. That's right, the Clan coach has answered your questions. All this and a Clan conundrum too, and altogether, you're listening to Clan Chat.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
Clan conundrum time, just to get things going this week, and it's in honour of the Elite League's Player of the Week, our very own netminder Patrick Killeen, who scooped the accolade after a great weekend last week. He joined the Clan from Milton Keynes Lightning, where he played last season, and while there, he picked up his only shutout in the UK so far. What we want to know is, what club did he shut out when playing for MK Lightning last season? Answer to come at the end of the show.
I'm Nolan Laporte, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
It's good to be home. Jerseys and kit were back in their rightful place, and the joy of being back in more familiar surroundings dominated the week as Clan finally came back to home ice. Fife Flyers greeted them on their return on Saturday in front of a sold-out crowd as Clan made it two wins from two against the Kirkcaldy men in a 3-2 win to improve the hopes of reaching the quarter-finals at the time. Tim Crowder fired the visitors in front, but that was cancelled out by Scott Pitt to tie things up by the end of the first period. James Livingston restored Fife's lead, and Clan thought they had equalised through Chad Rowe early in the third, which was ruled out after the goal was deemed to have been moved. The equaliser came as Travis Earhart set up Mika Lidhammer, and the game was back on level terms until Mathieu Roy tucked the puck in from close range with a minute and a half to go to claim the victory. On Sunday, it was back on the road and back into league action as Clan travelled to Manchester Storm, looking for their fifth straight league win and sixth consecutively in all competitions. And they got it with a 4-1 success to move 4 points clear at the top of the table. Sounds good, doesn't it? Rasmus Bjerrum opened the scoring inside the opening 5 minutes, with Pitt adding a second just before the half-hour mark. Mario Puskaric pulled one back, but Glasgow confirmed the result with markers from Nolan Laporte and an empty netter from Mikael Lidhammer. Another fine weekend for Zach Fitzgerald and his Glasgow Clan team.
I'm Matt Cowlett, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Attention now turns to this weekend, and it's a welcome week for the players who don't have to travel as Belfast Giants come to the west of Scotland for a doubleheader. After the Challenge Cup results on Sunday, Glasgow's place in the last eight was confirmed, but for holders Giants, their hopes of defending the title are on a knife edge. If they lose in regulation time to the Clan, they would be out of the competition by virtue of having lost to Fife Flyers in their away game there earlier in the season. Sunday's a different affair though, with league points up for grabs, and Glasgow will be keen to keep that good run going against the current champions. The Giants have not enjoyed the best of starts to the season, and they've yet to win on the road this season, and patchy form so far in both the league and the cup. The last three visits to Glasgow has seen them lose in all three, including the Valentine's Day 5-0 drubbing, and they're keen to start picking up the sort of form that would help as they try to win the Elite League title back. I got the inside track on what's been happening in and around the SSE arena, and I spoke to Belfast Telegraph journalist Adam McKendry on Wednesday after Giant CHL lost to Lilea, and I asked what we can take from their performance the night before.
Well, I think one of the big things that we were most impressed by was their compete level. The Giants have tended to raise their game a lot in the Champions League this year, and is something that we haven't seen in their domestic campaign. So I think after a few games where they haven't been quite so convincing, it was good to see their compete level was right back up there, and they really did go toe-to-toe with Lilea for long periods of the game. It was just a few times they let themselves slip a bit mentally, where they weren't quite sharp enough, they weren't really switched on. And Lilea, you know, being one of the top SHL teams, they're just so clinical with their finishing. Anytime they got a quality chance, they just really made the most of it. So I think one of the big things that we're taking away from it is They were really good in terms of competing as hard as they could for long periods. They just need to be that little bit more switched on, I think.
You mentioned the domestic form in the last month or so, and it's not been probably what we would expect from Belfast Giants. How's Adam Keefe addressing that form as we move into another month?
There's just been a lot of frustration, really, because, as I said, they've been very good at competing in the Champions League. They just can't quite seem to find that road form in the league. And I think that's just really a frustration more than anything else. There just, again, seems to be a few mental slips. He's been switching up the lines a bit to see if they can spark a bit more on offense. It is one of those ones where they're really just trying to work through it at the moment. I don't think there's any quick fix to it because they just don't seem to have playing on the road down to a T yet. And that's something that they've really got to address quickly because we've seen them at home. They can really put in some great performances at home as they've done against Glasgow earlier in the season and particularly in shutting out Nottingham a few weeks ago. But on the road, this team just doesn't know how to travel yet, and I think it's something that Keefe is really struggling to cope with early in the season. It's something that I think will come. It's just they've got to work through it. They've got to just really have that switched on 60-minute performance that they haven't had yet. They've been slipping off late in games in the third period in Dundee and in Fife. They were tied going into the final period in both of those games and ended up losing both. So it's just making sure they have that 60-minute performance that they haven't had yet on the road.
And you could say it's an ideal opportunity to try and get it. They've got two chances in Glasgow this weekend.
Well, I think that they're certainly approaching the Challenge Cup game as a must-win, which it is. If they want to defend their Challenge Cup title, they have to win. No ifs or buts about it. So there's a massive amount of pressure on them to get that first road win on Saturday. Otherwise, it's going to be a very disappointing defence of their title. So they've got two chances this weekend, and I think if they don't come away with at least one win, there's going to be some serious questions asked about how this team can perform on the road, because it will start to become more than just early season problems. It's going to become a recurring thing. The Giants know they're not going to make it easy. Clan are obviously one of the form teams in the league at the moment. But I think the Giants, with this pressure, they've really got their backs to the wall. They have to pick up the first road win. I think you will see a much better performance than what you have seen from the Giants on the road, because they've got enough guys on this roster with experience of playing in big games, experience of playing, you know, whenever they really need a result. They're going to come together and they're going to really have a big performance, especially on Saturday. I think the Challenge Cup is a tournament that's so important to Adam Keefe. He's spoken about it before, where he really wants to perform well in it. He doesn't see it as a secondary competition. He sees it as another trophy that he really wants to win. And I think he'll really be drilling it into them that this is a game that they have to win. And especially going forward in the season, if they don't have the Challenge Cup knockouts to look forward to later on in the season, that's going to be something that's missing from the Giants' season.
Now, Adam Keefe's been in the job for over a couple of years now, and you have to say it's been relatively successful. He's won two Challenge Cups and a league title. Would you say this is the first time he's really started to feel even just a little bit of pressure?
Towards the end of his first season in charge, after they won the Challenge Cup in his first season in charge, there's just a little period after that where they kind of dropped off in their performance levels, and he certainly felt pressure there. But this is something more. This is early in the season where you're still sort of working out what you've got to work with your team, and certainly based on what it looks like the Giants recruited, it looks like they should be a team that's competing in every game and certainly winning a lot more games than they have to start the season. So I think he's certainly feeling the pressure, especially since it's not something that a lot of people foresaw coming whenever the season began. You know, they're struggling for goals, even though they've recruited a lot of guys who can score goals. You've got the likes of Ben Lake, Curtis Hamilton, Brian Ward, guys who have come in and have been perennial goal scorers with previous teams, and yet the team are still struggling to find that consistency in front of goal, that consistency of putting teams away whenever they're on the front foot. So I think that there's pressure on him in that he likes to put a lot of the blame on himself. If the team isn't performing well, he falls back on his default position of, well, it's my fault that the team aren't performing. So I think he puts a lot of pressure on himself to get the team playing right and getting the team to win games. I think he has been let down by the players a bit to start the season, but he's certainly feeling the pressure in that if this run continues for much longer, it starts to become more than just, as I said, more than just early season problems, and it starts to become a recurring thing. So I think there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders to snap them out of this sooner rather than later.
So let's try and turn it in a positive then. You know, results aside, which players have delivered so far, would you say? Which players do you think are the players that Keith can lean on in these two games this weekend?
Well, Liam Morgan has been by far the standout player for the Belfast Giants, coming in from the NCAA. A lot of people weren't sure what to expect from him. He wasn't really a massive point scorer in the American college system, but he's come in and he's leading the team with 17 points through 13 games this season. So he's been a massive surprise for the Giants in a good way. Like, he started the season, he wasn't on the power play. He was on the fourth line. He was rotating out on that fourth line with a few of the other guys. But he's just come in, he's been so impressive. He's already worked his way up into the top six of the Giants forwards, which has been an incredible thing to see. Other guys, Brian Ward's been scoring, as I mentioned. Curtis Hamilton has been scoring. Curtis Hamilton has one of the best shots I've seen from a Giants player. He's got a really quick release on a shot, which is really impressive. Patrick Ronka, we saw him in the Continental Cup last year with Katowice of Poland, and he's come in and he's been everything that was advertised. He's been quick. He's really good at stick handling. He'll always force defensemen to be on their toes, because if you give him too much space, he can go around you and he'll be behind you before you've even blinked. So those are the guys on offense that have been really impressive so far. And you look at Matt Pelich on the blue line, like, he's just such a big guy. He stands guys up at the blue line. He doesn't take any prisoners. He's willing to put his body on the line when needs be. And Kevin Rain is someone who's come back as well. And honestly, I think he is better than the elite league. He's a guy who will block maybe 10, 12 shots in a game and will play on like he never even got hit by one. He just gives everything every single night. He's a really quality stay-at-home D-man who gives you 100% every single night, and he's been really one of the most impressive guys. And then Shane Owen at the back as well. He's had a few rough games, especially in the Champions League, against some more quality scorers, but in the league he's been really impressive. He's, whenever he can see pucks, he hasn't been beaten at all. Coming in after Tyler Bescarawani, who was so good last year, who basically backstopped the Giants to the league title and the cup as well. He had a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but he's been really impressive to start the season. If the Giants can keep quality chances off him, then he will be one of the best netminders in the league this year.
And last question, and I think I know what the answer is going to be, but I'll ask it anyway. They want 4 points, that goes without saying. But if you were to choose a game in which they would take points more over the other one, which game would he take? Would it be Saturday or would it be Sunday?
If you asked Adam Keefe, I think he would take Saturday. I think he would be happy knowing that the Giants are into the cup knockouts and you're still in with a chance of winning two trophies this season. Obviously, you can make up points later in the season in the league, even if you don't want to drop them immediately. But I think if the Giants were out of the cup come Saturday night, I think Adam Keefe would be really disappointed. Even if they went on to get 2 points on Sunday, I think he would be really upset, because Belfast have that mentality of, we want to win every trophy. We want to be there at the end of the season, having been at the business end of every trophy that we've competed in. And to go out in the group stages would be a massive disappointment for this team. So I think he'd take the win on Saturday if you offered it to him now.
Hi, this is Matthew Roy. You're listening to Clan Chat.
Belfast Telegraph writer Adam McKendry talking to us about Belfast Giants ahead of the doubleheader this weekend. Last season, you'll recall we spoke to a lot of people working away in the background at Glasgow Clan, getting an insight into what they do. On this occasion, I decided it was long overdue that we heard from the great people of the Glasgow Clan Official Supporters Club and hear more about what they do behind the scenes to bring the fans and the club closer together. As you'll hear, it's a great relationship which has only got stronger in the last few years, so I caught up with USC chairman Roddy Brown and asked him to divulge more about the great things they do.
Yes, the USC is volunteers, 10 volunteers work tirelessly for the club. They do various things. We do all the tickets for our members in the USC section. We do all the way travel for our members again and some non-members. But hoping to tie them up to get be members. We also do events for the club as well, for the OSC to generate some funds so that we can give all that back to the club through our sponsorship. So, as I said, we're really quite busy with a lot of things we do for the club.
That's right. How long has the OSC been going now? In my mind, I think it's been going for ages, a long, long time. How long?
I'll probably be corrected by if I say something here, but association, and then it came forward through the Ryan Finitry kind of era to an official supporters club, and then it progressed from there to having a committee taken in by a constitution by a yearly AGM, and it just progressed from there. And I think we've been going for approximately maybe six, seven seasons.
Wow. And what about yourself? I take it you've been involved that whole length of time.
No, I haven't. I came in, my come in is just a volunteer at first on the committee, and things happened through probably default the year I could became the chairperson. The chairperson left and the committee voted on that year to myself to step up, which was a major challenge, but it was also a major honour. And it's been this way ever since. Every year I go to the AGM, and luckily the members kind of vote me on. So as I said, I keep going back to it. It's not just about me, it's about our committee. The committee changes every year. You know, it's great. You know, they do tireless work. Obviously, I'm the figurehead to be shot at. But I say again, it's a great honour for myself to be the chairperson, and I truthfully believe, Craig, that we are the best OSC in the league.
And how important is it to have that link with the club? Obviously, you talked about the events and things like that. It allows that interaction with the players that maybe you wouldn't normally get, for example.
Yeah, listen, year on, last year with Pete came on board, loved the whole OSC, what it was all about, took the whole thing by both hands, couldn't believe the OSC, how many members. This year, with Zach Fitzy, again, desperate to find out about the OSC, wears his badge with pride on his jacket all the time. You know, the players buy into it, the players know about the OSC, what they do. I mean, if we can, we help the team by like going to hotels or flying the team to Cardiff, or if the team needs something and we've got the funds here, we'll look at it to try and better the team. So the players get it, the members get it, we get it. We're obviously trying to pull the same bit of string to make the team better.
So how many members have you got at the moment then, roughly?
At the moment, we've got almost members. We'd love to get to 1,000 again, 1,000 a couple of years ago. We'd love to get to 1,000 members, do something maybe special for 1,000th member. I would love to get to 1,000. It only costs £10 for a member, £10, £5 for a child. No, it's really, really reasonable. And for that, the child gets a signed birthday card on the birthday. They also go into all sorts of draws. So, as you probably see on ice, we're never off the ice. We do man of the matches, puck drops, player awards, you know, loan and loans. We do a lot for our members. So, I mean, £10, £5, I think it's really, really reasonable for everyone.
Absolutely. But what do you get out of it, Roddy? You know, you talked about it's an honour, the fact you do the job, you're the chairman and everything else. On a personal note, what is it you get out of being involved, not only involved with the OSC, but being the chairman as well?
I just like working with people. I love people leaving the arena happy, enjoying what the OSC is about, and enjoy when they go on trips, enjoy themselves when they get to the arenas. I just love the whole buzz about being a part of something. I feel that the OSC is a major part of the club. Where members are major parts, because without the members, without the fans, the atmosphere, etc., it's just a whole thing, and I think it's great. It's a great thing for the club, a great thing for the members, a great thing for everyone that takes part. So, as I said, I'd love to get to 1,000 members this year. It'd be great for the club. It'd be great for us. But we keep flying the flag and keep pushing it.
Good. So what's coming up in OSC terms? What events have you got coming up as we speak?
Well, obviously, the OSC has also helped me with the Matt Haywood testimonial. We're obviously pushing that as well. The events, they've got the Winter Ball coming up, which is a great major success again. They'll have the kids' party. They're obviously just trying to rubber stamp a few things just now for something new for the kids, which would be really, really good if it comes to the part. Again, we're doing all the travel. We're getting the travel organised just now. We're obviously taking name just now for Dundee. The Dundee trip's coming up, the way travel. And then we go a few home games. We go quite a lot of home games. And then, obviously, the big one comes at Christmas over to Belfast, which is great because we get usually get three or four buses, a lot of fans. So, yes, everything's going well just now. The team are playing really well. I mean, we've been on a great run, so I'm hoping that we just keep plodding away and OSC will keep batting away at the background.
Good. And we'll finish up. One last chance to get a plug in. How do folk join the OSC?
If you want to join the OSC, you come up to the table, the OSC table, which is next to the bar, on the left-hand side of the bar. We've always got people up at the table. We've got our membership secretary. The committee's up there. You pick a form up, give it to the membership secretary. You'll get a card. The card entitles you to 10% off merchandise as well, which is courtesy of the club. Or you can go online, go into the website, get the details of the website, the bank details are all on there, sign up, get involved. I say to every fan, get involved. The way to meet new friends, through your OSC.
Hey, this is Jordan Haywood, and I listen to Clan Chat.
Great to have Glasgow Clan's OSC chairman, Roddy Brown, on the show. Now to one of the members of the team, as we find out more about their life and experiences in ice hockey, and this week forward Scott Tansky gave up his time to look back in his career and what he's done, leading to the present day and a wee look ahead to the weekend. Scott joined us in the summer of 2018, and in this interview, which we'll play in just a moment, he tells us all about his year in the AHL, what it's like to play in an All-Star game, explains his Scottish heritage, and what really went on making the excellent Dreams Clan Come True video. But first up, I asked Scott to share how his ice hockey journey began and his first memory of the sport.
I'm from northern Alberta in Canada, so way up north, and I can remember my mom freezing a garden so I could skate on and learn to skate in the backyard. And I always remember one night I didn't know how to stop, and she came out there and you know, shoveled off the snow that was accumulating on the ice. And, you know, we spent a lot of hours back there and just learning to love the game, you know, and just learning to get out there and right where the grassroots of hockey is, on a frozen garden in the backyard. So that's my first memory, and that's something I always cherish with me and my family.
Who was your earliest influences when you made your first steps in this sport? Who would you say was the people that put you in the right course?
Honestly, just having my family be passionate about the game and passionate about, you know, having me get out and do something active and get involved in the sport. And, you know, I looked up to a lot of NHL players. I was from Edmonton at the time, so, you know, the Oilers were always on, and they had, you know, a lot of good players at the time. And I just fell in love with the sport. Being from Canada, it's kind of in our blood when we are born. And, you know, it's something that I just fell in love with. And a lot of early mornings for my parents at the start and getting me involved. And I could have never done it without their support.
You started out at Burlington Eagles in their junior system, and if my information's right, you were playing alongside a certain Matt Stanish. What were you both like as kids?
Yeah, it was. It's funny, actually. You know, in freshman year, grade nine, that's when I moved to Burlington, and I met Matt, and you know, we formed this friendship, and you know, he was always, you know, he's a defenseman, I was a forward, and we'd always push each other, and especially like even in the summertime, pushing each other to get better, and you know, working out and training, and you know, we even up in the OHL and in the junior leagues, we played against each other, and we'd always have a good smile, and we'd go out together after and laugh about, you know, where our careers had taken us. But you know, the thing with Matt is just, you know, we've always been there for each other no matter what, and we've always been kind of following in each other's footsteps and along the way and along the path, and to finally get an opportunity this late in our careers to be able to play with each other, and then also adding Patrick Kleen in there, you know, it's just, it's something that I think I'm going to cherish for a long time, playing with some of my best friends.
I was just going to ask you, would you say he's probably been your closest friend in your career as you look back?
Yeah, you know, just growing up in the same town and having the same goals and the same values and working towards our goals together is something that bonds two people together for life. So we've always been very close. We've always spent time together, you know, whether it was on the ice or off the ice, and always cheered for each other to do well. And I'm happy that he's doing so well in his career. And I wish him nothing but the best, because, you know, to have someone like that along, you know, with the journey for you is something you're never going to forget. And I'm sure we'll have a friendship on to the later years of life.
Now, you mentioned the Edmonton Oilers earlier. Presumably that was your team as a kid growing up. Who were the players that you wanted to emulate?
I really always liked the old school hardworking guys, you know, like Ryan Smith and Jason Smith and some of these players on Edmonton that are a little more hard-nosed and rugged and kind of exemplified what it's like to be a hockey player, you know, sticking up for your teammates and doing whatever it takes to win, you know, not just, I didn't always fancy the goal scorers or just the playmakers. I fancied the people that wore their heart on their sleeves and did whatever it takes for their team to win and embrace the community and were just all around good professionals. And, you know, that's what I kind of take when I was trying to mold my game at a young age.
Now, anybody who clicks on your Elite Prospects page will see two flags next to your name, a Canadian one and a Scottish one. Tell us about the Scottish heritage you have.
I find it pretty funny because I think my grandmother is from Scotland. I'm not 100% sure, but that flag just popped up on Elite Prospects. I'm pretty sure after the Dreams Clan Come True. I think I convinced every single person in Scotland that I'm actually Scottish when I don't even know if I am. But we always have a huge laugh when I go on Elite Prospects and I see that Scottish flag there. And who knows? Maybe I'll add a few more flags on there. Maybe we'll get something else. But you know what? It's funny, and I even had a couple of players. Like, we were playing against Belfast, and I know Matt Pellick pretty good. And we talked at the blue line. He's like, asked me when I got my passport and citizenship, and I was like, "Hi, buddy, I don't have enough time to explain this whole situation to you." But it's really funny when you go on there and people ask me about it. I think it's all in good fun. You could probably thank Jerry McLaughlin for setting that whole thing up.
I'll ask you about that a bit later on. We'll come back to your career and your 4 years you had in the OHL with Brampton Battalion. What was the grounding like playing there for young players? Is it the sort of league that kind of roots out who can make it, who can make the step up to the NHL later on?
Yeah, you know what? It's a dream. It's something that you look up to when you're playing in minor hockey there. You see all these amazing players coming up, especially through the OHL, and it was something that, you know, if you're able to spend time playing there, then you know that you have achieved something in hockey and you know that you have an opportunity to make it a career. And, you know, getting the letter in the mail to come to camp and then, you know, going into the GM's office after camp and him telling you that you made a team that you've dreamt about for as long as you could remember, and, you know, being 17 years old and realizing, wow, I get to play major junior hockey with some of the best players in the world. And you know what, it really puts things in perspective. It's humbling at the time, and it really shows that hard work does pay off, you know, because you don't always have to be the fastest. You don't always have to score the most goals or be the most skilled. You have to bring something to the table that'll set you apart from the rest. And you really learn how to be a man, you know. You learn how to be a human being. You learn how to form friendships. And I think it was one of the most important things, moving away from home and having these bonds with all these amazing friends and making lifelong memories and going through these challenges at a young age that not a lot of kids have to. You know, a lot of kids go away to uni and college at 18, 19, and 20. And I was a 16-year-old kid away from home, learning everything, you know, firsthand and living with a different family. So it's something that you can't explain always, but it's something that I'll always cherish and will be some of my fondest memories of hockey for those 4 years.
So was it sad to see them relocate to North Bay then?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty good for the organization. You know, they're going to draw more fans out there, and I think bringing hockey back up north is good. I love Brampton. They have a good core group of fans there, season ticket holders, and we had a lot of really good teams, and it was a lot of fun to do well there. And we made the playoffs every year. We made the OHL finals in my second year, which was amazing, and had the opportunity to spend some time closer to home. So I know there's a lot of kids that play on that team that have family members around the greater Toronto area, and you know, and moving up north, it's a little difficult for family members to be coming up to see you, but you know what? I think at the end of it, I think it was good for the organization to move up and back to North Bay where they had a team before.
From there, you went to Connecticut, and it was a year in the AHL with Connecticut Whale. Just how tough a league is the AHL to really make your mark on the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I was a 21-year-old kid going from playing junior hockey to playing against real men, playing against NHL players and people that ever have played in NHL games. And It was really crazy. I was planning on going to play CIS, Canadian University Hockey, in Canada, and I got the call to go to the Rangers camp, and I tried to put my best foot forward, and you know, luckily I did really well in the camp, and they offered me a contract. It was a 1-year deal with Connecticut, and I talked to my parents, and they said, you know what, you may never get this opportunity again, and you've been working since you were 3 years old to do something like this, and are you really prepared to, you know, pass that up? I know school is always going to be there, whether I want to go back now or whether I want to do some stuff with that. I just, you know, you can't pass up the opportunity you've been working to for a long time. So I probably had my most favorite year of hockey ever so far, just because I played with people I idolized, and I was in the second highest league, you know, arguably in the world as a 21-year-old. And it was just every single day going to the rink, surrounded by these professionals, surrounded by these NHL players, you know, playing with like the likes of Sean Avery and Wade Redden and Matt Zuccarello. And I could just go on and on about our team that year. And, you know, those are the type of things that you remember. You don't always remember the goals, but you remember the little things and the memories and the friendships you make with all these people.
Now, in 2012, your career in the ECHL began. You had 3 and a bit years with Orlando Solar Bears and then spells at Reading Royals and South Carolina Stingrays. How good a level is that to play in, and you get picked for the All-Star game as well? I mean, that must have been an amazing moment for you.
Yeah, honestly, it's a great league. I have nothing bad to say about it. It's going to be an unbelievable developmental league for the NHL. They stick a lot of their draft picks in that league, and it's getting younger and more skilled, and the depth is outstanding there, and it's a really good opportunity for these young kids to kind of grow into a professional game before they're called on to possibly move up to the American League or the NHL, and the depth is great. You know, when you compare it to the EIHL, I know a lot of people like to do that. It's difficult. EIHL here, you got a lot of, you know, ex-ECHL older established players come over here and do really well, and that league is more of a younger league now. You get the 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds over there that are trying to establish themselves in the system, and you know, you lose one or two players here, you got to play with that. You got to play with that loss there. You're able to call players up and down, and there's always a revolving door of players, so it's a little different, for sure.
I was looking at some of the names that played in that All-Star game, and when I look down it, there's a lot of names recognisable to fans in the Elite League as well. So it must be weird now, years later, you're still coming up against these guys.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, you know, it's funny. I see some guys that are even older than me still playing, and I wonder sometimes, you know, like how they're still going, you know, especially some of the guys that play a little bit of a harder game. But that All-Star game was amazing. We had 11,000 fans in Orlando, and it was on the NHL Network, and it was something that I never thought I'd have an opportunity to participate in. It was a beautiful weekend. You know, we went out around Orlando where it was hosted in our home arena, and and having all the best players from around and have them put on that show is something that, you know, a whole lot of memories. And I still got the jersey hanging up, and it's something I'll look back on when I grow old and maybe show the grandkids.
Now, before we go into your move to Glasgow, I want to talk about something that's kind of went with you all the way through your career, and that's your Tansky Talks initiative. Talking, you know, just getting folk to talk, people who are feeling a bit, you know, depressed, a bit down. Just tell us how that all started and where it's currently at. I know we spoke about it last year, but a lot of people might not know about this.
Yeah, I know. It's something that was really important to me as I grew older in hockey and as I progressed in my career, was using my platform to help, you know, make some changes and some things I felt very strongly about. And, you know, we do training until about 12 every day, and we have all this downtime, and I didn't want to waste it by sitting around and not being productive, and I wanted to do something that could maybe change people's lives. So I met some unbelievable people in Ottawa where I was training in the summer, and I drew inspiration off them to try and, you know, raise money and start raising awareness for youth mental health. You know, 1 in 3 children between the ages of 13 and 17 are going through some sort of mental health issues and are not always aware of how best to deal with it. So I thought maybe opening lines of communication, you know, raising some funds that could be used in the local mental health associations wherever I played would allow me to use my platform for something. So over the last 4 or 5 years, we almost raised $50,000 in all these different cities. And it's something that I hold, I take the utmost pride in. And, you know, at the end of the career, I can, you know, say that I gave everything I had on the ice and off the ice. I also gave back to the community, and I tried to change people's lives for the better.
Great thing, I'm sure. Now, time to talk about Glasgow. You arrived in the summer of 2018. Why was Glasgow the right move for you?
I think at the time, honestly, I wanted to change the pace. I'd spent, you know, the better part of 7 years in the ECHL and just kind of treading water a little bit. I wanted to try and come over and experiencing something different, you know. It's a different game. The ice is bigger. You're living in a different country. You know, you're able to go out and travel and experience, you know, this beautiful place that I've grown to love here in Glasgow. And I had some friends that, you know, had nothing but good things to say. It was really nice that as English speaking, it makes it an easier transition for myself and my girlfriend when we came over. And I think the way the game is played here in the Elite Ice Hockey League is tendered perfectly to my game and transferred well from what I was doing before in the ECHL. And I just thought it was, you know, it transferred well for my game and my personality. And I think that, you know, Glasgow turned out to be the best possible fit. And that's why I've decided to return here for this year.
So what made last season so enjoyable for you? It was a great year for the club. Obviously, they did so well in the league, reached the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, maybe not quite getting as far as in the playoffs as we would have liked, but what made the whole thing enjoyable for you?
Yeah, honestly, yes. No matter where you are, where you play or what league, if you have a good, solid group of guys around you and you step into the doorway every single day and you have a smile on your face and you're enjoying what you're going to do, that makes it, you know, it makes you successful. Last year, we focused on the process, not always on the product, and we had a great group of guys that would do anything for each other. We spent a lot of time together off the ice, and we really came together as a team. You know, when you look back on those months in January and February where we were on a tear and, you know, we were playing very well and, you know, climbing up the table, it's something I draw a lot of inspiration on this year. And getting off to a hot start this year, I can draw some learning, you know, points from last year and try to establish that is more as continued regular thing here. So last year was successful and unbelievable because it started the building blocks for this year. And we brought a lot of core group of guys back and some of the guys that have been here before and just all around great human beings. And that's why you're seeing us have some success right now.
Right, next question. You mentioned it earlier, dreams can come true. How did it all come about? You mentioned Jerry, no doubt he was behind it, but how did the whole idea happen?
I think it was a little bit of a bottle of whiskey and maybe some creative minds coming together. But it was, we had some off days and Jerry just, you know, presented the idea. And I like to have fun and do some things that are a little out there. I don't like to, you know, we're not robots. I don't like to just continue to do the same thing. And I know Jerry is his background being, you know, being a big movie star and a funny comedian guy, he was going to have something up his sleeve. And he talked about it, and I was just saying, I'm all for that, just because I like doing things that are different. I think that's important, and that's what's fun to me, especially off the ice, keeping things light. And, you know, he mentioned it, and then I kind of forgot about it for a few days, and he came over and messaged me. He's like, I'm bringing the camera crew. We're going to do this. And I was like, oh, yeah, I swear I forgot we talked about that. And then he just had all these ideas, and we incorporated Stanish into it, and it came out perfectly. And I know Chris Ward and a couple other guys helped put it all together, and it was it turned out to be pretty funny. I know they debuted it at the OSC awards night, which I hadn't even seen it before, so... I was like watching on the big screen. I had to bury my head a few times because I was like, oh my, I can't believe this is happening. But everyone sure seemed to like it. And I think that doing more things like that really shows you to the fans that, you know, you're human beings and you're more than just hockey, and enjoy having fun and trying to establish some enjoyment of something different, you know, than just going out there and playing hockey and being done with it.
Did you know your mum was going to be in it? You said you didn't see it until that first night of the awards night.
Yeah, I remember asking her. Jerry asked me if she would do a little thing, so she did send me a little thing, and I sent it to Jerry. I didn't know how it was going to be implemented into the into the video, but I knew she was going to be in there some way, and I knew it was going to come together. But I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out. I just knew that it was going to be funny. It was going to be something that people had probably not seen before for a while.
So let's look ahead then. We're about to get into a weekend with two games against Belfast Giants, the Challenge Cup on Saturday and the league on Sunday, on the back of another great weekend. That's six wins in all. Just how high is the confidence right now in this camp?
I think the confidence is very high, and I think the confidence has been high for a long time. You know, I know it was a little difficult to see at the start, you know, with those two tough games against Dundee, but even when that was going on, we knew that we had only been together for a short amount of time. We hadn't been able to work on a lot of our systems or really get down pat all our strategies. And the confidence in the room was, you know, we got a great group of players. We got a good role players. We got goal scorers. We got some guys that can throw their weight around. We got defense. We got every piece of the puzzle, and we got an outstanding goalie, probably one of the best goalies in the entire league. So we knew it was only a matter of time until we came together. And we are not shocked that we've put this string of good games together, because we have a great group of guys. We got guys that believe in what Fitzy is bringing to the table, and guys who never quit and never stop working. So you put all those pieces together and you're going to have success no matter what.
So how much will you learn about yourselves? I mean, Belfast are the league champions, the Challenge Cup holders, in many ways the benchmark for this season. So how much will this team learn about themselves come Sunday night once the two games are finished?
To be honest, I think we've been learning, you know, each weekend that's been passing, we've been learning a lot. I know we've been on the road battling, and coming back home is going to be nice and different for us, but we fully expect to win hockey games when we're at home. We think we have a good enough team, and we realize that these top teams, the Cardiffs and the Belfast and all these teams, we need to beat them if we want to win a league title, and that's what we want. That's why we're here. That's why we all signed here to play. You know, that's what Fitzy wants. That's what all the fans want. And, you know, thinking, oh, you know, third place or fourth place is good enough is not the mindset we want to have. We want to win the league. We want to win trophies. And that's important to us. And to do that, you need to beat these top teams. Belfast is exceptional. They always have solid players. You know, Kiefer's really good at having those guys play the right way. So I think by the end of this week, we're gonna realize you know, what we need to work on, or some of the things that have been working for us. And if we can continue that, I think that the sky's the limit for us. I think we need to can't be complacent. We need to keep going forward, and we can't be satisfied with what we've done so far.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
The life and times of Scott Tansky. Now it's time for the part of the show where I get to take things easy, relatively speaking, and let you, the fans, take over. And I put out the call to the Purple Army to send us in some questions to the head coach, Zach Fitzgerald. And you know what? You didn't disappoint. So let's sit back and hear what the coach had to say to your questions right now. Well, Zach, the fans have been asking some questions. How's the week going for you so far?
Very good. Very good. It's been another good week. Practice with the fellas. They're working hard as usual, and, you know, we're coming off another good weekend, so happy days.
Good. As I said, the fans have been putting some questions to you, so let's get started. Ready for this?
Okay, let's do it.
Nymphadora Tonks on Twitter. She asks, when you have been on the bench with the guys during games, how much do you want to jump on the ice and throw a few punches, just like old times?
Well, there we go. You know, it's thankfully we have some fellas that are capable of that, but no, it's sometimes it's hard to sit back and have to watch it happen, you know, the rough stuff and that. But like I said, we got guys that are capable, so I have no worries there. But, you know, I'm not far off of that. That might happen someday. Let's hope not, though.
On to Robert McFarlane. Other than your own team, because you've got to be impressed by your own team, what team in the Elite League has impressed you the most this season so far from what you've seen? Now, I'm mindful you've not seen everybody yet, but, you know, if there is a team that stands out so far, how would that be?
Well, I think this league is special in the way that every team has an opportunity on any given night. I think, you know, you see a lot of results that you may not expect. You know, there's a very competitive league through and through, I think, and I've got a lot of respect for him, Mr. Pasha. He does a great job over there. I think he always puts together a dangerous team, you know, and we ran into that. This season, their goalie is very good. I think they're very dangerous, and so I'd have to give it to Dundee then.
Good. Now, this question I like. I'd probably say this is my favourite question out of the ones we got in from June Thompson. She states that Pete, of course, didn't have an assistant coach last year, but you have, and Matt Becker, of course. What benefits do you get from having an assistant, and is it something you think every coach should have? I think that's a great question.
I think, yeah, it's a great question. I think for sure every coach should have an assistant coach. You know, it's a unique situation in this league with the player assistant coach, and as of late, I've had Bex more, I guess you could say, on the bench and in my room with me, and it's been a great experience. You know, he's got a different perspective on the game. He's played it in many great leagues. He's been a part of a ton of good, you know, coaching staffs as far as being coached by them and learned from them and what he may or may not like myself, but I think he's a great hockey mind. He thinks the game well. He's been huge for us in special teams. You know, he's doing a lot to help me out, doing some video and stuff like that. And you know, I think he's taken a hold of the role, and I appreciate that. And I think it's needed. I think it's somebody you need to bounce ideas off. You know, like I said, a different perspective. You know, and it's been good actually lately on the bench with just some quick decision type things where, you know, something happens real quick in the game, we got to make a quick change on the power play, or, you know, dealing with the referees, or keeping an eye on, you know, maybe certain lines that they're putting out or certain lines that we're putting out. And it definitely makes the job easier. You know, we'd rather him be playing right now, but it's been a good experience with him on the bench with me, and regardless whether he's playing or on the bench with me, we work together really well off the ice. Preparation for the games, and I mean, I think it's needed.
So on to Dale, who's asking that now that you've gone from player to coach, what do you miss most and least from your playing days?
Well, I definitely miss being in the room, being a part of the group, you know, putting in the work with these guys. You know, I'm part of it in a way now, but you know, going through the battles and through the tribulations and the ups and the downs and the, you know, the battles, I will definitely miss that, the camaraderie in the room. You know, I've had to try to find a way, you know, I need to solidify my position. So, you know, I can't just be that guy, you know, in the room all the time. The friendships that I've made with these guys over the years will never end, that's for sure. But, you know, there's a line that I need to walk as far as, you know, being a part of the group in that sense. So that I will miss, and I do miss. What I don't miss, that's a good one. Mm. That's a real good one. I guess as far as this league goes, sitting on the bus for 8 hours and then hopping out and playing a game is not very fun. And I think that some people don't think about that all the time, that these guys are literally sitting on the bus for 8 hours. You know, they get out and move around for about 45 minutes in one of our breaks, but otherwise they're kind of confined to the bus. And then, you know, you get out and you do your warm-up. Sometimes you're late to the game. Sometimes you're a little bit early, you know, and you got your routine or whatever, but still, you know, you're crammed in this, you know, and it's not a sleeper bus. You're just sitting in the chair for 8 hours. And granted, you might have two. Some guys have to share, but it's not an easy situation, I think. It can be taken lightly sometimes by people that aren't experiencing that. So, you know, I think, you know, the trips way down south or, you know, the Cardiffs or whatever, you know, guys coming out ready to go, it's quite impressive. So, you know, I guess I won't miss that.
That is interesting because, you know, I mean, I haven't been on long journeys myself, but not to the extent that you guys are. You know, you can feel quite tired, quite fatigued when you've been on the go for that long, and as you say, you've been sitting. So, you know, when guys have to get up and play and give it their all for a full 60 minutes as well, that must be really tough.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you got people that expect you to be at your top form, and, you know, it's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. And, you know, guys do their best to be ready, and, you know, it's not going to always be great for everybody every single night. You know, you might not be feeling great. You may not have slept well the night before, and then you're trying to sleep on the bus, and that's not working. And there's 20 other people on the bus that are loud, and, you know, you're trying to do your own thing. You're trying to prepare. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy at all. And, you know, the last 6 weeks, the guys have absolutely smashed that. So I'm so proud of them, and I think it's great the way that they've handled it with their attitudes. So that's all I could possibly ask them for.
Good. Now on to Colin Shearer. I briefed you on this one quickly. I got you to think about it a little bit. He's loving the attitude of the team and the players. The find a way quote is something that he says is most fitting for this team, the slogan. What's the next slogan going to be? He suggests don't stop till the top. Can you better that?
I like that. Don't stop till the top, I guess. No, I mean, I think we have found a way a lot of games, but we've also kind of dominated at times, so I guess, I don't know, never surrender maybe. And I think that the team has lived up to that. I think they have never given up regardless. And granted, we've had a great run so far. But, you know, the early on games too, this team plays the full 60 minutes and I don't think they, you know, they surrender. So I think never surrender maybe.
Cool. On to Big Andy's question. He was asking about the incident involving you and Andrew Lord in Cardiff. A few weeks ago, we all saw the photographs of the two of you having a disagreement, shall we call it. He asks, were you ready to do the coaching equivalent of dropping the gloves with Lordo during the win over Cardiff? He says it looked pretty intense between the benches.
Yeah, we played against each other for a lot of years, and it was like that on the ice too. So, no, I think, to be fair to him, you know, I'd gotten upset at a few of their players. I didn't like a couple of the runs that they took, a couple charges, guys jumping in the air at hits and dirty hits that should be suspendable that didn't even get called. Then you got a player coming to your bench faking a two-hand slash to our player's face, and I said something to him, and you know what? Lordo got fired up about it, and hey, he had his chance. He had his chance many, many years ago, and there was never a lack of me trying that one. So I don't think we'll see it in the suits unless they sign up a UFC. But no, those days are past, I guess.
Good. Nicky Shannon is asking, has the transition to coach been harder or easier than you anticipated? Well, I suppose it's easier because you're winning games, I guess, eh?
Yeah, the guys are making me look good, aren't they? No. I, you know, that's a good question. I think, you know, early on it was, you know, you're a bit unsure about things. You don't quite know how it's going to go. You know, I'm confident with my experience in the game and what I've learned and what I know about the game. You know, I've been playing it since I was just a young man. And, you know, I'm not here to reinvent the wheel. But I guess I don't want to say easier, but I want to say that it's gone well, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm loving it. I think it's a ton of fun. It's fun work. It's very busy. It's a lot of extra hours, a lot of extra time away from the family, but I don't get sick of it. I love it. I'm up doing it late at night. I'll be doing it again after we get off the phone here. My family's been great about understanding that I want to do a good job, and is for the guys and for the organization. So I think if I had to say a word, I guess I would say easier, just because it's a ton of fun.
Good. And finally, the last one, Michael Steele. He's asking, if you're required at some point during the season, do you think we could see you playing again?
Yeah, I mean, right now we're already having a bit of injury issues. I think it's right now it's been a good time for us to play a few guys down, because, you know, we're getting in shape through the time on the ice, and the guys are enjoying playing a ton. You know, there's going to be time when we need those guys and the extra bodies. And, you know, unfortunately, the way the game goes is there's going to be injuries, whether it's a game or longer or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, there's a high chance of it happening. How much will I play myself? Probably not a lot. But, you know, to fill in a little bit here and there, yeah, I mean, to, you know, get the guys extra rest and try to help in that sense. It most likely will happen, but I'm hoping that we don't need that to happen.
And last one from me. Obviously, I can't let you go without asking about the games this weekend. It's a doubleheader with Belfast. Clan are already through in the Challenge Cup. Good news on that front. Belfast having a bit of an up and down season. How much are you looking forward to these two games, and how are you approaching them?
Yeah, no, I'm working on a video right now to get the guys prepared, and they get a good look at how the, you know, how Belfast plays. I don't think they've changed much since we saw them last, but, you know, to see the video and see, you know, it actually happening rather than the X and O's on the paper is important, and it's very useful, and it's a good way to teach and prepare the guys for what's ahead. I think, you know, they're a great team. They've done well in the CHL. They've done well in, you know, the campaign over here. They're definitely not to be taken lightly. You know, I think Fife did a good job against them. Dundee did a good job against them. And there's no reason that we can't ourselves. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun to have them host them for two games this weekend, and one Challenge Cup, one league. Like you said, we're through the Challenge Cup, but it's still for polling position, and, you know, we want to win games. So we want to keep this thing going.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to The Clan Chat.
The dulcet tones of head coach Zach Fitzgerald answering your questions, and I want to say a big thanks to everyone who got in touch with us to take part. Before we go, let's solve the clan conundrum we set back at the start of the show, and the subject was Patrick Killeen, the winner of the Elite League Player of the Week award, and we wanted to know, against which team did Patrick record his only shutout last season when he played for MK Lightning? The answer? Dundee Stars. Milton Keynes Lightning won 3-0 in a win over them back in December last year. Another clan conundrum to come next time.
I'm Craig Peacock, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
That's it. Keep up to date with the clan by checking out the website, clanihc.com, or by following us on social media, by liking the official Facebook page, or following us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. Get your tickets for this weekend's doubleheader against Belfast Giants via the website, and don't miss out on what will be a great weekend of action. If you want to join the OSC after hearing Roddy Brown earlier on, check them out on the clan website, clanihc.com, and find them under the Fan Zone category, where all the information on the OSC is stored there. If you haven't yet, you can subscribe to the Clan Chat podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Audioboom. And if you do, new episodes will automatically download to your device. I want to extend my thanks to our guest this week, Adam McKendry from the Belfast Telegraph, OSC Chairman Roddy Brown, Scott Tansky, and the head coach Zach Fitzgerald. And also thanks to producer Stuart Priest for getting up from his sickbed to put this together, although his wife tells me differently. And finally, to you for listening. We'll be returning very soon. I'm Craig Anderson. Bye for now.